probably guess what we're talking about today. Why are the chairs so far back? This is like, I feel so inadequate. No, I'm not going to come down there. I can't today. I can't. I don't know. I'll stay up here. Anyway, we are glad you're here today. Thanks for being here. Many of you are relatively new with us, and you've seen a lot of us, some of the ways we like to have fun. And we like to have fun in terms of understanding how to make that fun relate to what God's Word tells us, right? Jesus had a great sense of humor. You realize that, don't you? If you understand Hebrew humor and you look at what he said, you would understand just how funny things he said would have been in that context. Now, we look at it, and it's kind of like, well, oh, that's humorous. In today's context, it's not, but Jesus was a really, really funny guy. So thanks to our Moses Letterman. Thanks to Kyle for leading us and giving us all this good stuff to think about, and for all the folks that are teaming with him. Several elementary school students were asked the following questions about their moms. And so we're going to give you some of their answers. And not that these are real funny, but they're kind of cute, I guess. Why did God make mothers? Well, here's some answers. She's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. I don't get that one. Mostly, God made her to clean the house. That was another one. He made them to help us get out of there when we were getting born. So that was pretty interesting there. So how did God make mothers? One said he made them with dirt, just like the rest of us. Here's one. God made my mom just the same like he made me. He just used bigger parts. Well, anyway. Here's another quote. What ingredients are mothers made of? Well, God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world. And one dab of mean. Okay. Here's another one. They had to get their start from men's bones. Then they mostly used string, I think. Okay. So why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? We're related. And finally, God knew that she likes me a lot more than other people's moms like me. So today we're going to talk about that fifth commandment, which is all about what? Honoring your father and your mother. And there are ways to do that, believe it or not, right? And we're going to talk about some of those today in the time that we've got. Man, it's been a great day already, man. What about Sean, huh? Doing Aretha, huh? Was that something? Yeah, she had to go outside because it was just too cool for her in here, you know? But anyway, that was pretty amazing, and all the backup singers and everything. So in the fifth commandment, God said to Moses, write it on the tablet, honor your father and your mother, and you will live a long, full life in the land your Lord God is giving you. Now, in saying this, Jesus would later expound upon what the commandment meant. And we're going to look at some of what he said, but for the most part, we're going to stay in the Old Testament today, because when you look in Scripture and you look at what it says about parents and what it says about parenting and what it says about being children, et cetera, and da da da, you kind of have to go all through Scripture to really find all that God wants us really to understand about that. So the way we're going to approach this today is look at some ways we can honor our parents. And a lot of this, parents, has to do with you. All right, I want you to understand that, right? And, we should perhaps go teach this over in the teen bay and then also in the children's bay, perhaps. But here's the first way for us to really honor our parents as we view them and as we grow. The first thing we need to understand is that we need to try to become the best possible parents ourselves. We need to become the best possible parents ourselves. Does that make sense? We need to do the best we can do at being good parents as we grow. Now, if you're not a parent yet, and you're planning on doing it, please don't take that lightly. Don't take it lightly at all. It's a very difficult job, incredibly difficult. And God wants us to learn how to do it and do it well. I mean, after all, He gave us the model of parenting, right? I mean, God the Father. So how do we do this? We become the best parents possible ourselves. Well, what does the honorable parenting style look like? Let me give you some things that good parenting that characterize good parenting. And let's kind of camp out here for a couple of minutes. So this is really for all of us. Parents, by the way, can I say you never age out of being a parent? Have you noticed that? Many of us went into it and say, okay, I'll be done with this by the time I'm 40 or 50. Little did you know, right? Little did you know. It's kind of like a lifelong sentence. I mean, calling. So what do we do? Let me give you five things real quickly to kind of characterize this parenting style that's really honorable. The first thing, the first characteristic of the honorable parenting style is affirmation. All right, affirmation basically is all about unconditionally accepting your child for who they are. Unconditionally accepting your child for who they are. In Romans chapter 15, the Bible says this: accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. It's very important that we accept our children for who they are. Now, keep in mind that I use the word accept. There is a difference between the word accept and the word approve. You may not always approve of everything your child is doing or who they are becoming, but acceptance is the key word. We have a lot of the difference between approval and acceptance is maturity. In other words, if we don't approve of something and that makes it difficult for us to accept something, maturity is that which allows us to accept things that we don't approve of. Does that make sense? There is a difference. Love basically means that we must affirm those that we love, and we affirm who they are without necessarily affirming all the things that they do. Does that make sense? And so we've got to make sure that we are clear in our communication. A lot of times what happens as parents, we communicate things that we are concerned about in our children's lives without separating that from their identity and who they are. For example, I know that one of the things we learned early on in parenting, we had to be very careful the way we use negative words. Because if we would say something like, that was a not so smart thing to do, we had to be very careful to make sure that our children didn't take the not so smart thing and apply it to their own personal identity, right? The smartest people in the world do dumb things. You agree? Right? Some of y'all do some really dumb things, right? I've done some really dumb things lately, right? But I'm not necessarily a dumb person. Well, that could be debatable with some, but the point is this: no matter how bad you see your children do some things, or no matter what the severity might be in the way you see them, still you must affirm them for who they are and separate what they do from who they are. Now, let me say this: in your household, affirmation is a culture. Okay? What really, I'd love to see, we see organizational cultures, church cultures, and we see assessments made and all that. I don't see a whole lot out there on how to measure the culture in your home. What is the culture in your home really like? What's it like? Is there a culture of affirmation in your home? Is there a situation there where your children, for example, know that you affirm them, you accept them, and that you're going to be there, and things are going to be cool no matter what really necessarily happens? Well, in Romans chapter 3, the Bible says this whole thing about accepting and being accepting of others. Now, God has shown us a different way to heaven, not by being good enough and trying to keep His laws, but by a new way. Now, God says that He will accept and acquit us, declare us not guilty, if we trust Jesus Christ to take away our sins. And we all can be saved in the same way by coming to Christ, no matter who we are or what we have been like. Now, let me say this. God loves us unconditionally. God affirms us for who we are. He loves us regardless of the dumb things that we do, right? And so that is the model that he wants us to demonstrate to our children. Okay? Now, God also, when we do those things that displease him, he allows us to do what? He allows us to suffer the consequences, right? He allows us to deal with the things that we have done. And you know what? He has his way of letting us know when he is displeased with what we do, right? But yet and still, his love doesn't stop for us. It's unconditional. And so here's one of the things that I would just ask you, most importantly, as this relationship that God has for you, this love relationship, have you accepted him? Have you recognized that love? Have you appreciated that unconditional love to the extent where you have said, you know what, God, I'm willing to live my life for you. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to allow you to be the boss, the director of my life. Have you done that? Because that decision that you make is a fundamental function, if you will, of that unconditional love that God has for you. So that's what we as parents are called to do. That's the first piece of the honorable parenting style. Affirmation, unconditionally loving our children, accepting them for who they are. You know, this whole thing about acceptance gets kind of dicey because one of the things we always do, we have a hard time accepting those that our kids might choose to befriend and all that good stuff. There was a teenager who was enthusiastically describing her new boyfriend to her father. And so dad says to her, "He sounds very nice, dear, but let me ask you this. Does he have any money?" And so she looked at him and she said, "Oh, Dad, you men are all alike. Bob asked me the same thing about you." So acceptance kind of goes two ways, right? So that's the first piece of the honorable parenting style, affirmation. Here's the second thing. The second thing is appreciation. Affirmation and appreciation can be different because appreciation has to do more with celebrating the good things they do. Without necessarily going overboard like we saw in the video this morning, right? Which we can do. Celebrating the good things that we do. This is honest and sincere praise. Active praise makes children what? Feel good about themselves. You know, one of the things I did this Friday and Saturday, I had to do a seminar like, you know, all day and all night, and then yesterday about half a day for 300 children's weekday directors and staff from all around the state. And one of the things that we talked about was the fact that the best way to motivate people is to give them opportunities for success. Every success will cause someone to be motivated to try something new and to do it again. Every success is the best motivator to keep them going. So success is the best motivation. But here's the thing. We need to make sure that our children understand when they've been successful. But they need us to help them understand when. Now, I'm not the one who says, okay, we should take a team that finished 0-10 in the Might League and give everybody a trophy. I'm not for that at all. You might think I'm harsh. You might think I'm cruel. You didn't win anything. You know, if you want to give them a certificate with a Chick-fil-A free sandwich kind of thing, great. You know, but you know, this gets a little bit, you know, we've got to help kids understand when they fail and when they succeed, right? Because life is going to be full of failures and successes. We got plenty of grown-ups today who've kind of grown up in that culture where no matter what you did, you were successful. And so now they have no clue regarding when they're successful and when they fail. And when they're successful, they expect everybody to pat them on the back. When they fail, even, they expect not to have to deal with the consequences, right? That's a culture which says kind of it's all about me kind of thing, right? And so we want to make sure that our kids don't get into that, but they understand what success really is. And the best way for them to understand success is for us to give them appreciation, celebrate those good things that they do. And we're all very proud of our kids, right? I mean, we kind of have a bit of a bias toward them. Would you agree with that? We all do, and that's great. It should be that way. But we got to look at things objectively, too. I might have told you the story in the early years of our church when we kind of had our first impressions team and our greeters, and some people, you know, my mom walked in one Sunday, and they didn't know who she was. It was early in the church, and we were just kind of getting to know each other. And so there was a friendly usher at the greeter at the door, and you know, we were over at the Holiday Inn where we met there. And she said, he said, "Where would you like to sit, ma'am?" And we were pretty packed out. And well, I'd like to sit up on the front row, please. And the usher said, "Ma'am, I don't know if you really probably don't want to do that. The pastor spits when he talks, and he's really kind of boring. He's really kind of boring too." And she said, "Do you happen to know who I am?" And "No, ma'am, I don't." He said, "Well, I'm the pastor's mother," she said kind of indignantly. And so the usher said, "Ma'am, do you know who I am?" And she said, "No." He said, "Good." And so we kind of have this built-in bias, right, that we kind of deal with as parents. And they cause us to do things sometimes that may be a little out of character, maybe a little bit over the top. In 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul writes to the church there. He said, "Encourage each other to build each other up just as you're already doing." Build each other up. Build your children up. The second piece of the honorable parent style is to build your children up. Help them understand. Help them understand that success is a great motivator, and give them an opportunity, right, to experience success. And you continually put them in positions where they can indeed succeed. And here's the other thing. Remember that memories are built around two things: meaningful experiences and ordinary activities being made special. When was the last time you tried to make an ordinary activity seem special? Right? Find ways to do that. Okay? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, one of the best verses in all of Scripture on the whole idea of aging and all that good stuff. "Don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honor Him in your youth before you grow old and no longer enjoy living." Okay, the idea is when we're younger, we tend to just have fun all the time, right? I mean, I used to think, "Oh man, it's going to be great." And I was a teenager. "It's going to be great when I grow up, man, and I get to do all the grown-up stuff," right? Then I became a grown-up, right? And how often do we miss those teenage years, right? Those and prior, right? When carefree was the way we kind of could describe how our lives went back then. The third thing about the honorable parent style is called accessibility. Accessibility basically is being there to meet their needs. Being there to meet their needs. There was a story about during a violent summer thunderstorm, a mother was tucking her young boy into bed. And so the small son, as the mom was about walking out the door and turning off the light, he said, "Mommy, will you sleep with me tonight? I'm scared." And the mom smiled and came back and gave him a reassuring hug. "I can't, dear. I have to go sleep with your daddy." A long silence was broken at last by this shaky little voice who said, "He's such a big sissy." Let me take you back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. There, this is the very same law, the very same Mosaic law that God gave to Moses on the mountain, right? Mount Sinai. And here he says, "You must think constantly about the commandments," God said, "that I am giving you today. You must teach them to your children. You must talk about them when you are at home or out for a walk, at bedtime, and the first thing in the morning." Now, this passage a little bit later even talks about tying a string around your finger to remember to do that with your kids. Talk about God's law all the time with your kids. Be there for them, not just to kind of just be present, but to actively teach and to impart wisdom, to impart knowledge, to kind of help them through what I'll call teachable moments. You understand what a teachable moment is, right? Take advantage of teachable moments. This is whenever something happens, take the time, right, to explain, to teach, to relate to a biblical truth, okay? We have opportunities for those. They're important for us to do that and to understand all that. Accessibility is all about quality time, but also what? Quantity of time, okay? Our kids need quality time with us, but they also need quantities of time. Okay, so great. You know, I spent five minutes with my kid last month, but you know, it was a great 5 minutes, right? You think your kid's satisfied? Now, the other extreme of this is called smothering your kids, right? Smothering your kids is not a good thing either, okay? That kind of like inhibits them and that shelters them. And guess what? There's a world out there that they got to live in one day, right? And they got to figure out how to do that. And some of y'all are looking at some people, and they must be smothering parents. But anyway, another word for smothering parents is like helicopter parents. Who are the helicopter parents? They're the ones who hover all the time. They're always there, right? Wherever, where are they? Their kids are always looking. They're somewhere. Can I do this? Can I eat this ice cream? Can I do that? What can I do? Can I pick this up off the floor and eat it, you know? And so helicopter parents are those that cause our children not to be able to grow up because they are always doing what? They're always trying to control things. They're also trying to take negative consequences typically, and they're trying to help the kids avoid having to experience those consequences. Does that make sense? So, therefore, since some feet are obviously being stepped on today, let us understand what accessibility is really all about. So, here's the fourth thing that's important, affection. Affection has to do with discovering and speaking our children's love language. This does not mean, as our video showed this morning, it does not mean necessarily public displays of affection, particularly if it's a guy that's receiving the affection from the mother, right? And what are the love languages? This came out of a study, a book by a guy named Gary Chapman called The Five Love Languages. And what are the five love languages? I'm going to ask you. Many of you know what they are. You want to just give me a couple? What's one? Somebody give me one. Gifts, right. Some people sense love, right, when they are given gifts by the person who is trying to express the love. That's the best way for them to receive love. What's another? So we got gifts. Words of affirmation is another one. Words of affirmation basically says that some people, their love language, the way they receive love, the way they experience it, is through positive words spoken about them. Encouragement, okay? What's another one? What's the third one? Physical touch is another one. And physical touch basically is the kind of idea where, you know, when you got to touch me. Dad, you got to, you know, when you know, the kid feels good about dad or mom giving him a hug or patting him on the back or that kind of thing, whatever the case might be. And they feel love through that physical touch, right? What's another one? Quality time. Quality time is all about what? It's all about spending time that is uninterrupted, right? Some people experience love when those that are trying to express love to them spend this quality time that is undivided attention is given to them, right? And then what's the fifth one? Acts of service. Now this one, you don't see this one in kids a whole lot. I will tell you that right now. Acts of service is all about finding ways to do things that will make the life easier of someone else. Doing chores, doing things around the house, whatever the case might be. Now the problem is when we don't understand each other's love languages, and when some parent, for example, with a love language of words of affirmation, our tendency is we speak love in the ways that we tend to feel love. Does that make sense? The way that we typically feel love is the way that we by default speak, that's the way that we speak love, okay? But the issue is if the person we're trying to express love to, if their love language is different, then you know what, when we express it, for example, in acts of service, right? You know what? And their love language might be quality time. And this is exactly the way it is in my house. My primary love language is acts of service. My wife's is quality time. So when I'm going around busy doing all this stuff thinking she's going to love it, you know, she don't even notice it, right? We got a beautiful, clean house, you know, and by 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, right? And because I get up real early and she gets up at 9 and she hadn't even noticed it. Why? Because quality time's her deal, right? So we got to make sure that we spend, we understand the love languages with our children, and we speak them that way. You know, I got a couple of kids who physical touch is somewhere in there with them. And they just, when I walk by, you know, reach out to Trip Dad, you know. I'm taking that as a love language expression, right? I'm hoping that's what it is, right? Physical touch. So, but you know, that's what we got to understand. All right, now listen, our affection for our kids will keep them healthier, but they've got to feel the affection. Okay? And the way they feel the affection is for you to figure out what their love language is. Now, how many of you feel like that you got a pretty good handle on the love language of your children, the love languages of your children? Okay. If you don't, that's okay. That's okay. Just make sure that you start thinking about it. Okay? And you figure it out and you begin intentionally, you know, expressing love that way to them. By the way, husbands and wives, you need this principle applies in marriage as well, right? And so make sure you understand love language in your family and speak it that way. There's a book, Todd, I don't know if we've got it around here, called The Five Love Languages. I don't know if we've got it or not, but anyway. If you want to figure out how to get that book, is it back there? Oh, how about that? Cool. Good, Todd. Man, you are so good. God, you're good. Grab that one, or you know, just get information off of it, and you can purchase it through Amazon pretty inexpensively. Now, in Proverbs chapter 4, the Bible says, above all else, guard your affections, for they influence everything else in your life. Watch your step, stick to the path, and be safe. Parents, we have to teach our kids to guard their affections. Okay? This is an incredibly important passage. And the best way for parents to demonstrate how to guard the affections for their children is for parents, husband and wife, for example, to demonstrate a healthy affection in their marriage. Okay. Another way, if there's a single parent situation, the best way for you to do that is to make sure that you are expressing healthy affection with your child. Okay, because your children will go to where they think. That they can find love, right? Remember the old Johnny Lee song in their urban cowboy days, looking for love in all the wrong places, right? That's what a lot of our kids do today. And they're looking for something that looks like love, but they don't. When they don't know what real love is, they'll accept the first artificial, cheap substitute, right? That's one of the reasons I am totally convinced that the rate of premarital sex, right? Which, by the way, the rate of which is not that different among Christians as it is non-Christians. Also, the onslaught of premarital pregnancies, right? A lot of this stuff kind of goes hand in hand, right? Now, let me say this. You can do all the right things and your kids can still mess up, okay? They can. And many of you know that. You've experienced that, okay? But yet and still, it's our best due diligence is find ways to do exactly what we're talking about. Guard your own heart. Guard the hearts of your children, okay? Guard their hearts. Teach them to do that by helping them, by you guarding your own and helping them guard theirs as well. So here's the fifth thing of the honorable parenting practice, accountability. Now, accountability is important because here's where we get into making sure that if we're helicopter parents, for example, that we kind of put the controls in the upward direction and we kind of raise our, we kind of go ahead and get out of the way. We kind of raise the altitude and begin getting away. Because our kids will never learn as long as we don't expose them to the consequences of the actions that they take. Okay? Now, there's a tough balance here. Because when do we help soften the blow and when do we just get out of the way and let them go splat? You know, that's a tough call. It's a tough call. And it's something through each stage of life we have to make sure that we try to understand. So these are ways that we try to, you know, become good parents ourselves, because when we become good parents, I believe that's the primary way that we honor our own parents. The way that God was talking about that. So accountability is all about teaching and enforcing a lifestyle of personal responsibility. Personal responsibility in this culture today is something that is eroding. The idea of it is eroding, right? We can, you know, the blame game, you know, can always find somebody else to blame, right? for my problems. We're really good at that. You know, all you got to do is, you know, you can find a psychiatrist or a psychologist somewhere that will help you find another reason other than your own actions for your problems, okay? You will always be able to find that, okay? You can find, television shows that capitalize on this, that you watch, and if we're, you know, the media that we watch, it kind of is based on this idea that personal responsibility is not that big a deal, right? It's always somebody else's fault. Oh, you poor thing. You are such a victim. Our government structure is set up, right, even today, to help, to encourage victimhood. You know, we may be victims, but, you know, who are the perpetrators? We ourselves. You know, you can make yourself a victim, you know, if you are the perpetrator of the action that causes you to, you know, feel the negative consequence. So parents, we got to teach our kids accountability. They've got to have to deal with the consequences. In Ecclesiastes 11, young man, it's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Do all you want to. Take in everything, but realize that you must account to God for everything you do. See, societal trends do not change the Word of God. Okay? I don't care what laws passed. I don't care what government program is out there. I don't care, you know, what man-made ruling might occur, but it doesn't change the law of God. Now, real quickly, what is accountability? Accountability is all about creating clear expectations. Here, let me help you understand this. For you to get upset at your kid for something you've never taught them about is kind of unfair. Really? It's really unfair. So setting clear expectations at all ages is very important. Now, those of us who have children in differing kind of age categories, this makes it difficult. We've always kind of had three that have some level of spacing apart. So we've struggled with the idea of being clear with all three at all times. Okay, because the expectations for each ones are different. We still got a 10-year-old who is jealous about everything that the 19-year-old gets to do. You know, and we're always constantly explaining it. This is not appropriate for you. You know, no, you can't date boys. She is 19, da-da-da. She was 18 and a half before we allowed it. So, you know. And even then, we lowered it from 23. So, so things get kind of tough. And I kind of, you know, we gotta make those calls. So, in Joshua chapter 4, accountability in a parenting relationship is always helped out when we have markers. We try to put markers in lives of our kids. For example, one of the greatest markers we ever did was for our oldest daughter. We'll do this for our youngest daughter too. She grows older. Many of you have done this. Just a promise ring, a purity ring. Okay, a ring that reminds them, I want to give this to you. You know what? And I want to remind you that, you know, your virginity is one of the most critically important things that you have. You know, and it's not to be given away indiscriminately, only in the context of marriage, according to God's word. And so this ring is a symbol of our desire for you to obey that, okay? So it's our ring to you. No, it's not an engagement ring, right? Matter of fact, it's something that is very different. So that's an example of a marker, something that you can place in their lives that will help them to understand certain key things. So look for markers. Look for opportunities to put markers in their lives. So the first way for us, and we're just going to really ram this home now, the first way for us to honor our parents is to become great parents ourselves, okay? And we just kind of went through five things that we need to incorporate into parenting lifestyle in order to do that. Let me give you three or four other things that can be very helpful real quickly. Number one, we need to be consistent with gratitude regarding our parents' sacrifices for us, okay? We need to be consistent in our gratitude for that. Always acknowledging, you know what, thanks mom and dad for doing this. Thanks for doing that, you know, when I was such and such. Always show gratitude. That's a great way to honor them. You know, most reasonable parents, most reasonable people, they don't need you to, you know, to go overboard and give them gifts. A simple thank you means a whole lot. It really does. Now, for unreasonable people, that may not hold, okay? But for the most part, a simple thank you and a demonstration of gratitude is a great thing. Second thing, recognize your parents' own stages of life, right? And allow them to live their lives. Allow them to live their lives, okay? Help them live their lives the best they can. Don't become a drag on them living their lives, right? The idea of childhood and parenting is at some point the child kind of becomes somewhat independent, right? I think we're forgetting a lot of that today. Here's the fourth thing. Become more independent as we grow older so that the parents can slow down or speed up and enjoy life. They might choose to speed up. I know a lot of situations where, you know, once kids grew up, the parents just like, woo, they took off. Like, you know, just like, wow, you know, they're really living life. This is really cool. In other words, the way to put grow up, become emotionally and financially independent, okay? Do that. Get out of their hair, okay? Stop being a drag on them. Okay, stop sucking the energy out of them, right? Let them live their lives. Look, they've done their job, right? They've done their job. For those people, those who continue to do drags on their parents, it's kind of like, you know, I got this sadistic part of me, you know, that says, I hope your kids are a drag on you too, just as you're a drag on your parents, you know. You should have kids just like you, you know. Here's another thing. Help them prepare for their stages of life help them prepare for their stages of life without them having to fear becoming a burden on their children. Okay? Reasonable parents do not want to be a burden on their children. But guess what? In order for parents not to become a burden on their children, they have to be willing to face their own mortality. I know so many situations where older folks have never done any planning. And as a result, what happens is the grown children do wind up holding the bag for so much. And before you know it, often their financial security is wiped out because of the lack of planning. So help your parents plan. Help them be aware of what's going on. I just happened just this morning, a magazine that I get, that I subscribe to, Money Magazine, right? I don't have much of it, so I get a magazine to make me think I do. There's a three-part series in here on protecting your parents, how to help them understand what to look out for, how to help them avoid being taken in by scammers. What are things to look for? What are things that you can do to help them? What are some of the best investment options given the later stages in life and that kind of thing? Great stuff. Finally, give them attention and do special things for them as they get older. Okay? They did birthday parties and stuff for you when you were younger, right? They did this stuff for you. So, you know, as they get older, do some of those things for them. Make it an intentional practice. But, Bud, my goodness, you don't know my parents. They are just, oh, I just can't stand them, you know. Well, that leads us to the last point. How do we honor parents who aren't honorable? Now, you may be the one that's not honorable, okay? But if they're the ones who aren't honorable, the Bible says do what? Do all these things anyway. Even if you don't feel they're honorable, do it anyway. Do it anyway. Because this is a command, as Moses gave it, that was repeated again, time and again, all through Scripture. And we go back up to Ephesians chapter 6, where in verse 1, right there starting out, Paul says, children, obey your parents because you belong, not because they're honorable, okay? Not because they've lived a lifestyle that says we deserve you treating us this way, but because what? Because you belong to the Lord. Honor and obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. That means put aside all the nuances, all the problems and the difficulties, etc., right? And honor your parents, obey them because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. You see, so often we forget to do things just because they're the right thing to do. Okay? The right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. It's a pretty good promise, isn't it? Pretty good promise. You know, I want to be a parent who lives a lifestyle that causes my kids to find it easy to honor me as I grow and as they grow. And I know that you do too. And so the ways for us to do that are wrapped up in living a parenting style and becoming a parent who leads in an honorable fashion. So I want to encourage you to do just that, to figure out how you can honor your parent, how to be an honorable parent yourself, and to maximize this particular commandment in your life. So thank you for hearing that. Let's pray real quickly. God, thanks for your word. Thanks for the way that it has power. And Lord, I just ask you now to help us to really know and understand what it means for us to honor our parents. And help us, God, with that every day. We thank you for the chance to do that. Thank you for the wonderful occupation of parenthood, as it is something that that we need to live into and to understand and to do a better job at and to do a better job of honoring.
As we continue in this quiet time of prayer and as we bring this service, this wonderful service today, to a close, if you live out what you've learned today in this message, you'll have a lot better family. I promise you that. But I want to share with you this morning as we come to a close how to get started today. Right now, today. How can you get started to live out what you've learned today in this message? And what comes to my mind is when Jesus was baptized. And they heard a voice from heaven that said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. This is my son that I love in whom I'm well pleased." And I don't care how old your child may be or how young your child may be, your child needs to hear that you love them. And you need to say it. And you need to say it often. You know, there's some children that have never heard that from their parents. They've never heard that well done message from their parents. They've never heard, "I love you, I'm proud of you, just the way you are." Not because of anything you've done or haven't done. "You're my son, you're my daughter, I love you, I'm pleased with you, you're awesome, I think you're great." If you haven't done that recently for your child, do it today. And then live it out. Show it like we've learned in this message today, okay? That's the challenge I want to give you today. To go home and to share with your child that you love them, that you're pleased with them, and that you think they're great. They need to hear it. Then show it every day. Let's give that to God right now. God in heaven, I pray for each and every mom and dad here today that they would go home and they'd speak that well done message to their child, to each child individually. That they'd find a special time and a special place, and they'll find it today. And that they would speak those words of affirmation and love and truth to them. God, thank you, God, that you're such an awesome, loving, faithful Heavenly Father that loves us unconditionally and forgives us. God, help us to extend that to our family. God, we don't love as we ought to, dear God. That's why we need you, God, to fill us to overflowing with your love for our family. God, help each and every person here not wait for somebody else to do it. I'll wait for the husband, I'll wait for the mom, I'll wait for the daddy. But God, that we would take the first step to speak that truth in love to our family. Go with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. I hope this service today has been an encouragement and blessing to you. I want to remind you not to leave without filling out your communication card, your connection card. Put it in the offering boxes as you leave today. They're on either side of the exit, along with the tithes and offerings from our regulars.